NetCredit is here to say yes to a personal loan or line of credit when other lenders say no. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. If approved, applications are typically funded the next business day or sooner. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partner. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
This is Corolla Digital.
Hi, I'm Larry Miller, but in a way, aren't we all? And this week, on This Week with Larry Miller, you've heard about the Battle of Britain, you've heard about the Battle of the Bulge, I will tell you about the Battle of the Thermostat, the worst of all. Tune in to LarryMillerPodcast.com and we'll see you here.
Today's CarCast is sponsored by Encore Insurance Services, LLC. For free life insurance quote today, give them a call, 866-347-5748, or you can visit their website at smartterm.com. Again, give Encore a call, see if they can help you save. Let them do the work for you. 866-347-5748. Licensing and disclaimer information can be found at smartterm.com.
Now, it's time for this week's CarCast with your host, Adam Carolla, and moderator, Matt DeAndrea.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Mandate, get it on. Welcome to yet another CarCast. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Matt, the moderator, DeAndrea. Good friend. Bo Bachman in studio from
For
Galvin
a second, I thought
Ford.
I was your good friend.
No, barely an associate. I just use you to get me cars.
Yes.
Bo Bachman is out here representing Galpin Ford and, of course, all the cool stuff they do over at GAS, the Galpin Autosport. Quite a business. I mean,
Galpin, Jaguar,
Galpin, you know, everything.
Aston Martin, Lincoln.
Well, we do a few things. Thanks, BW. Adam, for having me on. Matt, good to see you, pal.
Good to be here.
Our pleasure. Bo has brought the supercar. We'll get into that when we go out and sort of unveil it. We took a nice walk around that thing. I believe it was at Pebble Beach when we were over
at the Quail Lodge.
Yeah. It's sort
of. So we teased the photos of this before already, but this thing is so cool.
Loosely based on the Ford GT.
But pretty heavily based. I mean, it's pretty much a GT on steroids, kind of.
Yeah.
The concept behind it was really, you know, what the Ford GT may have looked and performed like had it continued its evolution. So we try to have it, you know, it's kind of an evolutionary car is the way we try to think of it as.
There was a Shelby something.
Yes.
That looked a lot like what you brought us today.
Yes.
That I remember seeing parked. The best part of going to Pebble Beach is the experimental lawn
that
you pass by, and you always go, is Aston Martin really going to build that thing?
Yeah.
And there's a lot of that.
Yeah.
And I remember probably 08, 07, 08, a good few years ago.
Yeah, there was two of the concepts. There was sort of the modern-day Cobra, which was the Roadster,
right.
And then there was another one, right? There was the
and
one
that was the Shelby GR1, they called it.
Yeah.
And it was kind of meant to be a spiritual successor of the Daytona. So it had kind of that element to it. So
right.
Absolutely.
Right.
It's got that GR1 and Ford GT kind of mixture in there. There's definitely some design cues.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so we're seeing some pictures of it here.
Nice.
Sorry, I never cough, but for some reason.
He's dying.
Must be allergic to high performance.
that's probably what it is.
Bo, the company Galpin has been around for quite some time, and Galpin started – well, actually, it was funny because our good friend Les Kennedy over there at Classic Datsun hit me up a few months back. He always finds cars – whenever I tell – if I say to Les, I just bought a house, I'm totally strapped, and I don't have any money, he'll call back 2 days later and go, I found a car. That's his whole thing.
Right.
He found a Pinto.
Nice.
That was a B sedan, not a B sedan, a 2.5 Trans Am Pinto.
Really?
And it was sponsored by Galpin Ford.
No kidding. You know what?
From like 1973 or something.
How do you not
I think
have
I might have pictures of that car.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just saw them. We're just going through stuff.
Yeah, Pinto was a cool little car because unlike a lot of the American stuff that was going on back then, it was an overhead cam car with like aluminum head and an overhead cam.
Okay.
And they ran those, meaning it was like a base. Like the Pinto itself was not a high performance car, but engine.
Sexy. It was sexy.
Well, yeah, you got late. No. But the base of the engine, which was like the, I don't know, 1.8 or 2 liter, whatever, had aluminum head. Pretty okay. exotic yep. for American cars back in the 70s. And I think it had a timing belt that ran a pulley outside of the head.
Oh, yeah. You like that look.
And very European.
Yes. Right.
And thus, a lot of guys would use that Pinto motor as the base motor in, like, their Formula V or whatever. A lot of cars had, like, you know, with the side draft Webers and
powered
stuff
by
on
Pinto.
Them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but what does a Trans Am Pinto have under the hood?
It has the same, you know, it's basically, right? It's out there, was out there competing, I think, with the Datsun 510s and the Alpha GTVs and that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Look, if you get 200 horsepower out of it, it's competitive.
Yeah, they could. And yeah, I got to find out now whether that had a 1.8 or a 2 liter. What happened to the car?
Does he still have it?
We're looking into it. The problem is then he comes up with another car.
Yeah, right.
And then he comes up, it's always a conversation of, some guy named Herb. Guy named Herb. Herb. There's Herb.
Herb.
Yeah. Some guy named Herb.
Herb's
he's somewhere.
The guy. Herb's the food.
He's not in a good mood, but he's getting older. He's pretty crotchety.
Yeah.
He's pretty nuts. He doesn't like most people, but Les has a good relationship with him.
Right.
And he's not willing to sell the car yet.
Yeah.
Right.
But to the right guy. And then Herb has a plan.
Right.
Like Herb's gone, well, right now, the engine's out of the car.
Yeah.
And he wants to get the engine back into the car, and then he wants to go down to Road Atlanta and do the MIDI, and then he's going to sell the car.
Yeah.
But Herb's 72.
And he's been doing that for 20 years.
Engine's been out of the car since 1986.
His glasses are as thick as bottles.
Right.
You know?
And I don't know what the chances of Herb getting that engine back in that car and running it at Road Atlanta.
I love the guys, but he's got a plan.
Yeah.
I love the guys that are selling a vehicle, but you purchasing it is all on their terms. You know, you give me money, but then here's all my rules in addition to your money.
Yeah, that's the joy of collecting cars and finding all these little treasures out, though, right?
And the sort of...
You're going to have to bid against Bo now. You shouldn't have said that. You should have brought it here, fixed it, then sold it to Bo.
His pockets are bottomless.
I wish.
I can't go up again. It's like a huge defense contractor. Yeah. I'm not going to win this bid.
I mean, what is the Galpin Pinto race car market these days?
Yeah, it's probably in the 30-something, mid-30s range.
Yeah.
It's not too bad.
A cool piece.
A lot for a Pinto, it sounds like, though.
Probably would set a record for a Pinto, unless John Lennon owned a Pinto
or
Steve McQueen owned a Pinto, and we're not aware of it. But
it's going to move at Gooding.
It is hilarious. It is funny. That the, R.M. or Gooding. It is funny when the guys who have the cars, there is a, Bo, you know this from collecting cars, there's a certain psychology and a certain way you have to sort of approach it.
Yes.
Because there's a lot of these guys going, I don't need the money. I want this car to go somewhere. I want this car to be driven. You know,
right.
And then you go, oh, no, I'll absolutely.
Yeah.
You know me.
Has anybody ever said, oh, I'm not your guy? I'm not your guy.
Yeah. There you go. I will drive, you know, but I have probably gotten certain cars based on getting other cars and racing those cars and then going, oh, yeah, I'm going to take your car and I'm going to race your car. And there's this sort of pride where they want it out there. They want it to be seen.
Well, that's kind of the beauty of it, though. You know that they actually do love and care about their car and they want it to go to a good place. And I can actually really appreciate that. And I always think that that's their right. It's their property. And I kind of admire that when people are that passionate about the thing that they own and making sure that it's going to a good home, you know?
Yeah. We found a Pinto.
Cosworth Pinto.
Pinto did have a. I know Vega. Vega had a Cosworth. They had a Vega.
Now I'm learning about Pinto. Yeah. You know, we were big Pinto. You
the
know,
internet
that was one
says
of our,
Cosworth
one of our
Pinto.
Funnest things.
The internet is not wrong.
Well, hold on a second. There was a Ford Cosworth Vega, and there was a factory Vega, Cosworth Vega. But I don't remember a Cosworth Pinto, but that does not mean somebody did not get a Cosworth motor and put it in a Pinto.
Yeah, he called it Cosworth Pinto.
Well, it looks like it.
Anyway,
says,
I think that's
project.
A cool idea, though. Like that's a cool idea. It's like, hey, let's race the hell out of a Pinto.
You
never
guys,
heard of engine in it.
Galpin must have sold quite a few units of Pintos.
Oh, we have this whole amazing Pinto history. We were doing custom front ends on Pintos and wild paint jobs. And, you know, even our – do you see the flying Pinto, the actual flying car that we were involved in the 70s?
No.
Oh, this was amazing.
Oh, and, I've seen it in the museum.
Well, it was a the idea was that you would, you know, drive your car to the airport, your Pinto. You would attach the wings.
Sure.
You'd fly to your destination. You'd take off the wings, and then you'd have your car to drive around.
Oh, there it is.
It was actually – I do remember, there it is. The Mizar, they called it. It actually really worked. It flew.
Look at that. It looks like something out of the Cannonball Run movies.
Yeah, it actually inspired the James Bond, Man with the Golden Gun, the flying Matador.
Right.
That's what inspired it. They actually wanted to use that for the James Bond film, and then unfortunately had a – not so
fly.
Happy ending, yes.
Because it didn't fly?
Well, unfortunately, the guy that was the chief engineer and the owner of the project wanted to take it out, and the test pilot said, no effing way with the weather, and he said, I'm going up anyway, and unfortunately, the test pilot was correct, and one of the wings came off, and that was the end of that in Camarillo. Yeah, it was a terrible
Pinto crash.
Wow.
Yeah, terrible. So that, unfortunately, was the end of that.
If there's any vehicle that I would not want to fall 1,000 feet and be inside of, it would be a Pinto.
Right.
Yes.
I'd rather be in a vending machine.
You really can't understand that. If you look at that wreckage picture, it doesn't look like anything is there. I mean, it's just wires and just wreckage.
Never a good sign when they have to go to the dental records of the actual aircraft.
Right.
Like where you go, I don't know what that started life out as.
Right.
What was the car that fell out of the sky at the end of the Blues Brothers?
Oh, well, that was
kind of similar, right?
No, I thought that
I'm
was
pretty sure that was a Pinto.
See?
Oh,
was it
really?
A Pinto?
Yeah, Illinois Nazis driving the Pinto.
Oh, really? It was.
Really?
Well, there you go.
That I got to look up now. Not that I don't trust you over there, but that would be pretty weird.
Galpin goes way back.
Jeff is Googling Illinois Nazis.
Well, you have it going over. You had there.
Oh, they had that wagon though. They had that red wagon.
Yeah. There's
does look like a Pinto wagon from here.
That would be fantastic. Well,
so Galpin has a rich history with customization.
Yes,
racing, alteration, high performance. Yes, it's a Pinto wagon. And
wow,
Pinto. You basically don't.
Good job, Jeff.
Let me put words in your mouth, Bo, but. So Galpin gets out of the gate with all this kind of stuff.
Right.
And then at a certain point, I don't know, in the 90s or something, just kind of gets back to just selling cars. And, they've always offered, you know, the Evel Knievel F-150 and stuff like that. But they kind of...
right.
The bat truck.
They tapered off a little all the crazy modifications
Correct.
And all that kind of stuff. And then you basically came back and you said, I want to open up. Basically, a customization shop, a race shop.
That's actually exactly what happened. I'm really blessed. You know, we have this wonderful, rich history. We've been customizing cars for 60 years now, and that happened to be the same year that my dad started Galpin as a salesman. And that was the first custom that was a Ford convertible, and it was on the cover of Motor Trend. It was named one of the top 10 customs of the year by Motor Trend. So really, really amazing. And we were doing all kinds of really fun things with the conversion van industry. That's some of our funnest, wackiest, you know, stuff, and off-road trucks, and you know, a lot with performance. We were very heavily involved in racing. Ron Hornaday was actually a mechanic when my dad was a salesman, and then he became our service manager when my dad became the sales manager. And we were the West Coast NASCAR champions for 4 years in a row, 61 to 64, and actually used that racing. And Ron developed specialized suspensions that we used to do, and you know, all kinds of really cool things that we actually learned on the track that we brought into the car. So it wasn't just about design and doing some wacky paint jobs. It was performance and really going through all the everything on the car. So you're exactly right. I came in to do our advertising in about 2000, 1999, about that time. And, I went, yeah, we're still painting cars. You know, there's like paint jobs out there. And, yeah, we got wheels and tires and tint, you know, some basic stuff. But, you know, you look back at our history, like, this is some fun stuff, man. This is really this is really wild. And it really got attention. And I thought, well, why don't we do it as kind of a marketing deal? You know, create somebody. We had this calendar that we were doing. I said, why don't we make it a Galpin calendar that's about custom cars, build some kind of wacky mobile. Well, not wacky mobiles, but some pretty outrageous things. Some of them pretty wacky. And use that for promotion and the calendars and then sell them. And that's exactly what we did, and kind of relaunched that whole wilder custom side, as well as focusing on true performance and getting into that side of it. So really kind of tapping into our entire history of customizing and racing. And then we had this strip mall we were doing nothing with, and I said, well, why don't we – my dad always talked about a Galpin toy store. I said, why don't we just do it there, and actually instead of just Fords, let's customize all makes and models, and let's expand the type of customizing that we're we're doing. So every year we're kind of developing that business and getting into even more and bigger projects. And this is for me literally a dream come true. It couldn't be having more fun.
What is we're looking at George Barris right now in front of the Bat F-150.
Yeah, that was a project with Jared, his grandson. He wanted to do a truck to pull the Batmobile.
What is
we sold it.
What's the big seller right now in terms of
other than the Bat truck?
Than the Bat truck, when people. Obviously they're mussing around with their Mustangs and their F-150s, but the hot item in the store when people come in and come into gas and want to massage something, what seems to be the most popular?
Well, if you're talking about on new cars, you're right. It's more of the Mustangs, F-150s, more of the performance types, although we do get quite a bit now in the smaller car range. So Focus and Fiesta, especially like the STs, doing a lot of that. But, more and more what we're doing is more classic cars, resto modding and general performance and building cars like that and getting into the hot rod business now. And so it's it continues to be kind of a higher volume of the normal stuff that we do every day, and then really having fun with some classics. And then we do a lot of corporate builds and those types of things, and kind of those kind of wild. So it's kind of for me, that's what I love, is doing the variety of things. Just sticking to one little thing.
Yeah, the Galpin, the museum, which I've been able to pass through a few times, has just this weird, eclectic, crazy mix of cars, old and new. But it's not, I don't understand why some guys do that thing where they just go, I'm a Mopar man.
Right.
And they go, I'm into Mopars. And they're like, you're not into anything else?
Nothing.
Well, it's got to have a Hemi. It's got to be a Mopar.
Right.
And it's like, why? It's almost, and I understand it, but the dudes that are just like, I'm just into the Polynesian chicks. And I'm like, yeah, man, but there's hot blonde chicks, and there's hot brunette chicks, there's hot redheads, there's black chicks
out
there.
Isn't that the truth?
I just like this one. It's like, why are you limiting yourself?
Exactly. Yeah,
but
Right. Here's
what you should do. Say, I'll take any chick that's hot.
Right.
But don't limit yourself to this one group. It's like
exactly. Just
going, I only eat Thai food. Like, why? There's so much good out there.
Exactly.
And, you go through there and you see Ford, Shelby GT350 Mustangs in there, but then you see the Aston Martin, what the hell's that crazy sedan?
Lagonda. Yeah.
And they're you never see those two next to each other in anyone's collection. They're both cool and crazy and weird for their time and fun and fast, and they're just, why not? I'm Beau's very eclectic. Anything that flips his cookie makes it in there.
Yeah, pretty much.
And you like all the cool custom fun stuff that was made, like the show rods
we're kind of into now. You know, that's kind
like
of become
sparkly
our
sparkly paint.
I love the sparkly paint.
Well, you I think there's a story behind one of them you found in Mexico.
Well, that's the Big Daddy Roth Orbitron. So we probably have the largest collection of Big Daddy Roth cars and memorabilia anywhere now.
And it's basically the stuff we remember as kids making as models.
Exactly. Model kits and T-shirts.
Seeing in the magazines.
I mean, that's what you do, is go to shows with these wild cars and sell T-shirts and model kits. I mean, that's really what it was about.
I will say this about at least the Galpin Autosports side of the business is, if you just come to California on vacation, you're going to go to the Peterson Automotive Museum if you like cars. But then you should go buy Galpin, because the museum is killer. But you also have like one of the only real speed shops basically there. I mean, you know, it's not a full-on speed shop, but you guys got a cool thing in there. You can walk in, you can see crate engines and superchargers.
Absolutely.
But the Big Daddy Roth portion of the museum looks like the shelf of a toy store, but blown up to full size. Like that side of the building right now is just the coolest, you know, furry interiors and sparkly paint, it looks like all of these toys in real life. They're so wacky and cool.
And the one you found in Mexico,
the Orbitron.
Yeah, that was the Orbitron. So that was one of the funnest restoration projects that we've ever done. You know, we restore a lot of cars, mostly, you know, American muscle car for the most part. But pretty wide variety. So this was, you know, now we're really getting into we do a lot of show car restoration, but Orbitron was actually found being used as a dumpster outside of a sex shop in Juarez, Mexico, in literally the worst part of town in the most dangerous city in North America. And, we enjoyed going down there.
Who found it?
Actually, a guy by the name of Michael Lightborn. He's from El Paso.
And what was he doing there?
You know what? That's what he does. He's a, right?
That's what he does?
That's what he does?
No, hey, man.
Okay.
He trolls the bad neighborhoods of Mexico. but he actually, his thing is he goes around and tries to find these cars that have been forgotten about. And you wouldn't believe some of the, you know, he's seen a Boss 427 like on the roof of a house. Mm-hmm. I mean, just they're typically totally wrecked, but it's pretty wild. You know, there it is in front of the sex shop. But
there's a picture of it. Yeah.
And it was kind of unrecognizable. And the guy, you know, was going to take it and turn it into a jacuzzi or something, he said. So he got it back over the border.
It's part of his marketing plan for his business.
Right, exactly. But we got it over the border and actually got a lot of the original team that worked on it the first time back together to work on it, like Larry Watson and Billy Carter, who painted the car, actually painted it again. Joe Perez, who did the interior the first time.
It was rough.
Did it in his same garage that he did it, you know, back in 1961, 1962. The original designer, Ed Newton, we were actually doing a project with, oddly enough, and he was there to kind of eyeball and make sure we got all the lines correct, because the whole front of the car was torn off. Wow. So it was a real great – and the Roth family was involved and kind of got back together again. So it was just a really special project to be involved in.
It's cool you can get the same guys to do it, because I don't think you're going to open the drawer and bust out the blueprints on that thing to find out how it was done.
No, he never even used a measuring tape famously.
No, you can see that. You can see that.
And, you know, we tried to really maintain the integrity of the car without changing it. So, like, the taillights look like he just randomly – he did literally randomly, like, just – drill holes and then stick a light in there. There's no line to it. They're just all – so you can't change that. You just have to leave its imperfections, but make it as beautiful as possible. So it's probably the best it's ever looked, to be honest.
Now, I know you and I have talked about this before, but you got to explain the three lights in the front with the different colors.
Well, there was a new technology called color television that was gaining momentum.
I've heard of
and
this.
And the idea was that
Corollas are just getting on.
Yes,
Dad's thinking about squeezing the trigger on
your
his first color set. He's thinking of. He's toying with the idea. He's still calling it a fad,
right? Yeah. But back then they wanted to showcase that, so that the red, blue, and green lights were meant to emulate color television, and as they all shone together, it'd be one bright light.
Right,
and it actually does theoretically work if you take a piece of paper in just the right location that is kind of white.
Right. I remember this may be about the same time, but another one of those colored combination illuminated devices. We didn't have one, but other people did. Seems like the Bachmans may have had one of these. in front of your Christmas tree, you'd put that stupid, that circular, it was blue, red, white, or whatever it is.
I'm not remembering this. It might be a little before
same thing.
My
it was
time.
Like, it was a piece of, like, plexiglass. It looked like an oscillating fan. It was set up like a fan.
Oh, right.
And it had a light bulb behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And you and this thing would just slowly turn, and it would just sort of kind of cast a shadow on your. Your Christmas tree would never. It would never turn red or blue or anything. It just sort of. It was worthless right. during the
kind
day.
Of vaguely cast. Yeah,
it was just another thing to help. Your tree catch on fire,
right?
Like January 9th, you know.
You know, we never had one of those either.
Oh.
I kind of feel deprived.
I remember a few people that had them. It was one of those things where people just bought them and didn't know what they did, and then it turned out they didn't do anything. And it was back when people would buy like purple and pink Christmas trees and stuff like that. We just
our
color palette was. I think people were just high back then. But you know.
Guys who put monkey fur interior, by the way.
Yeah.
Blue monkey fur interior.
Is there ever going to be...
Where do you find a blue monkey?
You dye them. I'm trying to figure, like, you hear about all these stories, these barn finds and all this kind of stuff. Are we now, because of the internet, is that era... There had to be this little window that is now basically closed. Now, people still find cars.
Right.
But what I'm saying is that finding something of that historical significance in front of a whorehouse in Juarez, you know, it's just, I can't believe that that's ever going to happen again.
The good stuff is gone, maybe.
Well, and here's the weird thing, though. I still get calls on it. I mean, you talk about, I mean, sometimes they're not true barn finds, in other words, forgotten about. But a lot of there's still a lot of people that just have their old cars in their garage. They've been there forever. They forgot them. You know, I remember being a teenager and fantasizing about finding a barn find, right? And thinking, oh, they're probably all gone by then. Or when I was in my 20s, they were all gone. And here they keep popping up and appearing. Now,
yep.
We just got a barn find a few years ago. I mean, an original Galpin Ford Shelby GT350, a 65. Total barn find, all original, actually a garage find.
Right.
And, we ended up acquiring the vehicle, and I just got it running. It runs like a clock, by the way, but it still has all the beautiful patina. That, to me, is that and Orbitron are my favorite cars. My dad hates it, by the way.
Which one, the Mustang or Orbitron?
Mustang.
Really?
He hates it.
He wants it put back.
Oh, yeah. It's like, why would you buy a piece of crap old car that I wouldn't even, allow on the lot in the day? And I'm like, yeah, but it's so damn cool.
But at least you got to park next to a fully restored GT350, right?
Well, right. And that's the thing. Actually, our buddy Bruce Meyer, he was talking about the car, and he said, I could have my GT350 parked next to yours and my other buddies, who's probably the best in the world, and they all want to see your car because it's got, it's got patina. It's got a story. It's all original. It's only original once.
Yeah.
So that's what I love about it and what my dad hates about it.
And this is a car that was purchased from Galpin back in the day.
Yeah, back in 65.
Oh, that's especially the reason why you can't monkey with it.
Oh, yeah.
Did I see this car at RM or Gooding or somewhere at an auction a few years back?
It was actually at Barrett Jackson.
Oh, Barrett Jackson.
And then we've had it on display, up in Pebble Beach and things like that as well.
The reason is, look. It's a perfectly simple explanation. First, I'll talk to your dad and I'll tell him this. Dad, anytime we want, we can restore this thing back and make it a perfect 10, if and we want.
Right.
We have the technology, we have the facility. This is as cool a car as it is, it's incredibly simple.
Yeah, absolutely.
And very easily done. By us and many other guys
Absolutely.
In town. So anytime we want, we can put it to how you want to do it. So
right.
You always have that window. Number two, there are, several thousand of these things on the planet. And I don't mean several thousand, but let's just say 1,000 that are in incredible condition. Anyone
right.
can see any one of those at any given car show anywhere around the country any weekend of the year. This...
Is
they
the only
cannot.
One.
Right.
The only one.
That, to me, is the argument.
Yeah, I've tried that argument.
Did your dad sell the car? Do you know who sold it?
Well, it was, you know, my dad was a manager back then, actually on the lot. But I don't know exactly who directed. Well, unfortunately, we don't have all the records back then.
Yeah.
But his other thing is, you know, we sold those for $4,000.
Right.
And I don't know if you've noticed, but the value of GT350s is considerably higher than that today. So I think that might be part of the issue as well.
Well, the idea that this guy – it's one thing to own – let's say you bought a GT350 back in – you bought a 65,
right,
which are the most expensive of the GT350s. And you bought one and it was $4,000 and you bought it in 65 and you sold it in 68 for – $3,200.
Right.
Then the notion of doubling back and buying one in 2013 for $210,000
right.
is disturbing.
It's very
That's disturbing. But if you sold 500 of these things at $4,000,
right,
it has to be just goddamn painful to think about that kind of money for something. Probably there's probably some stuff that your dad had where the guy wanted to pay $39.50 and your dad was like, 41, come on now.
No,
41.
No,
an idea
exactly.
that his son's paying $218,000 for one 30 years later has got to drive him nuts.
Oh, absolutely. Now, and the other thing I say, though, is, you know, we had like Cobras on the showroom floor, right? And back then, they couldn't get rid of them. They actually had to have sales spiffs to get rid of the Shelbys. Cobras, GT350s. I mean, it's absolutely unbelievable. I'm like, you couldn't have just kept one, you know?
I just want to see photos of the showroom with like the red tag sale hanging off the
right.
window of the Cobra.
I've been looking for that. I haven't found like the sale right. photo yet, but that would be awesome. I think there's a picture somewhere.
Well, speaking of awesome, Bo's brought himself their creation. Now, this thing is built at your facility?
Well, it's a combination. Actually, mm-hmm. the body, the glass, all of that work is done at Metal Crafters because they are really the
exit.
Oh, they're fantastic. You know, they build a lot of the concept cars for the OEMs, and they built other very small, low volume. They do extremely low volume manufacturing. So that's who we went to for the bodies. So those can be done in carbon fiber. You know, they do the carbon fiber bodies for John Force, and they did the S7s and things like that. And then we really handle the rest. So all the performance side, you know, we swap out the supercharger for a twin turbo system. It gets right now just over 1,000 horsepower. Do the interior, the wheels, tires. We have a carbon braking system on there. So it's a... It's really a combination of the two, but this is just amazing to be able to get involved in something like this.
This is what happens when you take a Ford GT and throw the best of everything you could possibly imagine at the car.
Yeah, and by the way, those Ford GTs, one of, in this broadcaster's memory, I don't believe there's really been any modern car that's come out. I mean, there's a handful, but super low production, but that have had a decent production run that have gone up in value over
the
last few years.
You
know, there's certain cars where they made very limited numbers,
right,
but they made, you know, a couple thousand of these things, right?
Yeah, I think 30-some hundred vehicles.
Right.
Off the top
that's
of my
a,
head.
That's so, a yeah. decent run.
Right.
From 04 to 06, is that right?
It was 05 and 06.
5 and 6.
And these things are going for, pretty much 100 more than people paid for.
100 grand over sticker is what they're going for.
Yeah. That's a pretty good.
And the guys that thought they paid too much back in the day are very happy that they did. And the guys that sold it are very unhappy that they did that. And even the Gulf color ones, like close to 300 grand now is what they're going for. It's crazy.
How many of those were
Gulf
made?
Gulf liver.
That was in the. I don't know to answer your question. It was only built the 1 year in 06.
You had a couple passed through your showroom back in the day.
Yeah, we sold quite a few GTs.
Well, let's. Let me tell you about one of our fine sponsors, Encore, baby. Today's show sponsored by Encore Insurance Services, LLC. Look, let's say you get yourself one of those old Cobras, you know, big block.
On sale.
On sale. $3,700 over at Galpin, and you wrap that thing around a Light pole. Well, what about your kids? What about your family? You need insurance. For free life insurance quote, give them a call today, 866-347-5748. You can visit their website at smartterm.com. Part of being a responsible parent. You don't know anything about this, Matt, but Bo and I, we got responsibilities, man.
Yes, we do.
Responsibility or parent?
Because
we got
kids that must be taken care of.
Okay.
And you need insurance. If you have insurance, maybe you need a little more. They'll compare the premiums of their highly rated insurance to help you save. Encore can help. Give them a call, 866-347-5748. Also, before we head out and see the supercar, I want to thank you guys for listening to the show. If you want to help out, keep now you got a you got the Cobra.
I did. I dyno tested it the other day.
All right, hold on. That had the 302 in it?
It's the 302. I'll tell you what the I'll tell you what the car is supposed to be rated at.
It was supposed to be rated at like 213 or something.
235.
235.
Okay. It's a little underrated is what they said. What do you think we made at the tires? Now, keep in mind, there's a
235 is supposed to be the crank.
At the crank. Now, there's the Dynojet, which is you lose about 10 to 12 horsepower for drivetrain, and there's the Mustang Dyno. You lose about 10-20%. Mm-hmm. Or, I'm sorry, 20 to 22%. We were on the Mustang Dyno.
It's so lose more.
So we lose more. We lose
rear
about
tires.
At the tires.
Always
a lot
devastating.
Of already.
149.
We don't know how. We made 230.
What?
The car's putting down like 290 horsepower. We can't figure out how. We pulled the computer out to see if it was chipped, and it wasn't.
You don't need an engine swap on that, bad boy.
It's the it's the most powerful Cobra on Earth.
Well, anyway, he needs an interior, he needs an engine, he needs suspension, and we got to get rid of that moonroof.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not a fan of the moonroof.
I took it over to Bodie. Bodie's like, I'll do it. It'll cost you.
Well, that's the point. That's why we ask you, again, be generous. Carcastshow.com. And you can hop on, you can click through the PayPal and throw us a couple bucks. We bring you the big names, we bring you the cool cars, we film it, we do it all, we produce it, but it costs a little something. So help give a little something back. That's all we're saying. Go to iTunes, give us a nice rating.
You know, and then there's the Amazon banners, right? You can click through, you're doing your Christmas shopping. I do all my shopping on Amazon because I got to go out of town and I just have everything mailed there.
Right.
You can go buy your Canon air filters, Flowmaster exhaust at Amazon.
Right.
No. And when you click through our banner, we get a little something, but it doesn't cost you anything else.
That's
the beauty.
By the way, the best kind of charity. All right, let's now hop out to the lot and see Bo's supercar. Well, here it is, the GTR1. Bo Bachman has brung us. We saw this car at the Quail. It looked great then. It looks great now. Go ahead and brag about it a little
bit.
Well, you know, we're really proud of this car. We designed it at Galpin Autosports. It was actually a project that we finished from Metal Crafters. And they hadn't quite gotten the design done yet, but they had some of the concept or the ideas there. So this one's actually all aluminum. It's based on a Ford GT, so... really, what we've done is taken the, you know, all of the expertise that Ford developed in the GT, and really tried to say what could have the GT been had it continued its evolution in both performance and design.
Well, that's an interesting thought because you know, like we talk about the Viper. The Viper started off as a car I didn't really like that much. Right. Aesthetically, it was a little funky and whatever. And then the Viper has evolved nicely, and now the Viper's a pretty nice machine.
Cool now. Yeah.
And the Ford GT started off nice, well ahead of the Viper, but it's crazy, but it's coming on 10 years. Since that thing was developed and whatever. It's a decade, a long time in car years.
It sure is.
Imagine what that thing would... Imagine if they just took the Ford GT program and treated it exactly like the Viper program or the Corvette program or the Mustang program, and they just kept going.
And that was really our inspiration. That's what we were trying to achieve by doing this car.
Well...
So the design-wise, there was a car called the Shelby GR1 that Ford came out with as a concept.
Right.
And this kind of incorporates a little bit of that. And it's actually about almost 5 inches wider than a GT.
It has, instead of the supercharger, twin turbo that gets just over 1,000 horsepower right now.
Look out, Hennessy.
Yeah. Hello, John. You know, we forged aluminum wheels and a carbon braking system, which they use like in F1, and you know, not the best in stop and go traffic, to be honest. But for high speed, it's absolutely fantastic.
The wheels, real knockoffs?
They actually are real knockoffs. Yes.
Door handles.
I don't see any safety wire.
Yes, they should look familiar to you.
They got some Aston Martin.
Yeah, a little Aston Martin. And we're open interior.
Now I tell you, the gaps, the fit and finish, and the gaps on the bodywork is amazing. It's perfect all the way around. That can't be easy to do on. I know a lot of hot rod guys put that much time into it, but here you're trying to make this as sort of a production vehicle, and there's so
extremely
much curves
low production,
and stuff that.
Well, and that's where Metal Crafters comes in, and that's really their expertise, and they're the best in the business at it, along with doing all the glass work and those types of things. So they do a phenomenal job.
Now, you can get it in all aluminum or carbon fiber.
Correct. Really, for the limited production run that we're looking at, which right now we're targeting 6 units, we're looking mainly at carbon fiber bodies for that.
Okay. The interior is gorgeous. You wouldn't think that all this blue would work, but man, this is nice.
Yeah, it absolutely looks amazing.
I love the idea of doing the blue leather. That's cool.
And the extra gauges in their own sort of bezels look fantastic as well.
Wow, it's great packaging on the turbo.
Look at the welding on that. I'm guessing stainless or aluminum.
Bo did it all himself.
I'm pretty handy, actually.
Look at this bead. Wow. Just a
So 1,000 horsepower.
A little over right now. We're working in development, and I think ultimately we'll get about 1,200 horsepower out of it is what we're trying to achieve.
Now, I was actually at their shop not too long ago, and they had this up on the lift and the back end apart, and just the amount of work and the fabrication of the turbos that's underneath that you can actually see is gorgeous.
Yeah. Right, it's got the carbon fiber covers on it. Again, the welds, just works of art. And I don't know why I just love the weld. I can't weld. It's one of these things where I do a lot of stuff, but I can't weld. And so I have a crazy appreciation for it.
Yeah, there's very few people that are, really masters at welding.
When you take the supercharger off, you're basically left with the lower intake manifold with the intercooler. Yeah. Now, you just fabricate this upper manifold?
Some of that is fabricated. And there's actually, this is from a company that actually has developed the twin turbo system for the GT.
Oh, great. So some of it is already,
and you're running,
some of the R&D has been
You're running
done.
16 fuel injectors instead of just 8.
Oh, yeah. Really.
It needs fuel. 1,000 horsepower is not light on the gas pump.
Can we fire it up and give it a listen?
Absolutely.
All right, Matt,
you
stand
do the
behind
honors?
It.
Sure. Who wants to do it? Yeah.
Matt,
you
want to
go in there?
Go ahead. Bang your feet together before you get in, Matt. Come on now.
See that?
This car's worth more than your net worth. And even if we parted your body out. Let's see. Clutch down. Neutral. Uh-oh. You got to put a key in somewhere?
The key actually does help to make it work.
Wow. I love hearing them spool down, yeah. I think you turn the key.
He's not used to that key thing.
Matt is not used to the key thing. Matt.
What's a key?
Your 93 Cobra, that does not have a push button start, does it?
Not yet.
Well, this is quite a triumph of engineering,
great.
Bo.
Thank you.
Well, thank you.
You guys should be really, really proud of yourself. It looks great. The interior is Ford GT, but it has many other parts on it that just, again, the if they had kept the program alive. Right. I wish they had. This is probably where they'd be at a decade on. Maybe not
like
with this much
so.
Horsepower. Maybe not with this much horsepower.
But
all
right. Nice.
So, Bo, where do people go if they want to check out all things Galpin?
Galpin.com, G-A-L-P-I-N. And we also have a site for the GTR1.
Perfect. So, until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Bo Bachman and Matt, the moderator, DeAndrea, saying keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
This is where projects come to life. Our showrooms are designed to inspire with the latest products from top brands, curated in an inviting, hands-on environment, and a team of industry experts to support your project. We'll be there to make sure everything goes as planned, from product selection to delivery coordination. At Ferguson Bath, Kitchen, and Lighting Gallery, your project is our priority.
Discover great brands like Thermador at your local Ferguson showroom.